Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25 hits, even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a fun, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, and off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick, and he's in.
Champions League, Champions League.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode called the Flag Talk Podcast. At this point, it has become a very regular occurrence that we are recording late on a Monday night because none of my beloved cast members care about the fact that I already have terrible sleep patterns. So let me just make it worse. Because the thing is, when they come off here, I have to edit. But for the love of the game, we do that. And for the love of the fact that we have a lot of big things to talk about this week, and we could not do it without the first guest, which is Yuan. What's good, my guy? Welcome back. It's been a while. I have like 5 group chats with Yuan, and every single one, and he sent a message about how, please do not try to contact me. I'll be unavailable from social media for the foreseeable future. And we'll obviously get into why in a minute. Do you want to say anything or just move on? Nice, cool. Then we also have Virgil. Uzi, what's good, my guy?
Hi there, back. So I'm still struggling to get back to, you know, Trinidad time, you know. I'm still struggling.
Virgil just showed up by my house last night, all, yeah. Just, anyways, can I say that? PG-13 show. And then we have Patrick. Pat, what's good, my guy?
I good. Dolph, Virgil, what's the time difference between here and, no, and over there?
That's it.
Nah, that crazy. Yeah, that's not easy. That order is really putting us here at jet lag, dog. Nah, for real. Trust.
I still deal up with things. Nah. I still deal up with things in Canada, but it's just like...
Nah, 100%. Because they're telling you something for 12 o'clock and it's really 11. And you see, that's where the elixir start. Now. Dog, 100% I understand, dog. Don't worry about that. People don't get it, dog.
At some point, Sat Brandon is currently in a meeting. He should join us anytime now. But until then,
it's a Chelsea board way. They
take over silence. Well, to be fair, that is the only place that they shine. So, I really don't want to get into the club and the Xavi and the whole manager talk without him, though. So, I was trying to figure out how we could have stalled in the meantime. Oh, dog, you know what can I put in here? I had a dumb question for all it to answer, you know.
What's the dumb question, John?
Like how I asked all about the superhero thing last time. Alright, yes. If it is that you could have 3 wishes, what you could do? But you can't wish for, like, infinite money or them kind of thing. Or to change your life, you can't be an next person, you can't copy somebody else's life either. What's 3 things that I wish for?
Who went first today?
3 things,
yeah. I also don't really want to think too hard about this, and it's just like, you know, off the cuff.
So first wish, I wish that there's 115 charges. Okay?
I like that.
Wish number 2, I wish that Daniel Sturridge, me, and whatever party body had stayed good, though, because he would have been one greatest. I maintain that. And my 3rd wish is that you can club never return with energy. That's what I had to say.
You know what? I wasn't actually going to do it like that, but let me do it like that. 3 wishes, but all put it into football.
I had one for the whole same thing with football. But my thing is that I hope that, you know, Pep signed a lifetime contract. You know, Pep just stopped aging. I would want that. Other one I would say... I really like to see a universe where either Manchester United or Arsenal fighting to get out of relegation, and one of them get relegated in the season. I feel like that would be a fun final day of the season. And yeah, what's the other one, boy? Yeah, I feel like next one had to be something about money. I feel like
Virgil doing that thing again where he trying to force rivalry because nobody actually cares about him.
You know what crazy about this song? Not once did Virgil say he wished the 115 charges going.
Go
just
away.
He just know.
Think about that.
That's crazy.
Wow. Patrick, I wish for more levers.
No, you know we could pull levers out we ask anytime we want, dog.
Don't say that.
Let me read.
Okay. What's your wishes you have, Pat?
Yeah, now mine, I mean, I glad only went down the football route because I go now a totally selfish route. One, I gotta set up myself with a green card, dog. Boom. One time, let me get that sorted. Taking a green card. Number two, I've been wanting an Audi, dog, so I gotta set up myself with a nice Audi. You know? I want the one, like, I want to open the door, I want to see these lights on the ground. I said, Audi. Right?
No joke. I was thinking, I mean, all in all kind of car I have, right? Dog, it's not the most fancy, whatever.
Right.
But I was thinking, I want to put lights on it.
I'm a dream car, I'm a dream car.
Real.
Come now.
I was your last wish, Patrick.
Like real white dog. Last wish. I don't know dog. But one thing I'll book on myself, dog. Like say, I don't know, deck out in a 6-pack or something. Like something just real nice, you know? Or yeah, like couple inches taller. I don't know. Something. You know what? I'll couple them both. I gotta make myself 6'7" with a 6-pack. There we go.
Yeah, dog. So like I actually have thought about that before, dog. And like my hack for it was that I was going to write down stuff and then be like, I want to fit this description, and it would be like both like physically, so like lose fat whatever, and then also to like inherit specific playing capabilities of certain players. Cause like so I like to play football, right? So I then become very good now, boy. And I told Patrick, I wish for yourself to actually be able to go and like play fully professionally. Cause like
now once you have the Audi and the green,
yeah, exactly. You need
no business.
Would that be that Barca had never paid refs and they had lost our 06 final? Would that also be that Madrid had sell Di Maria instead of Ozil, and so that his career never declined by coming by me? And
Di Maria to y'all.
Dog, it couldn't really matter either. Just watch Ozil.
Because he would probably impact the club more than Ozil, you know.
I wouldn't doubt that. Because we needed wingers. That is the thing. We had a million midfielders, though. Like, no, we had Wilshere, Ramsey, Cazorla. Go down the road, though. Like, Rosicky was still at the club and all they do. But yeah. And the other thing would probably be for Bruno to sign a lifetime contract with Man United.
A good thing.
That's great. Dog, a man telling me this week, dog, that John, you really hate Bruno. I was like, dog, it's actually complete opposite, innit? I love that man, innit? Dog, he was like the first big expose I had. Plus, I know as long as United own this man, they're going to never win anything. So, like, it's a win-win for me. Dog, I know the funny thing. They love him too. Yeah. So that is like everybody wins in this scenario. Dog,
I see.
Because guys,
I was seeing I think it was Bleacher Report or something, posting up. I think they say 4 years of Bruno or something at Manchester United. When people talk about that, I was like,
dog, and it was like the most magical time ever, dog. When all they do in that time was like lose 3 finals when I hire
a couple. It's like we celebrate not midfielder, not casual. I don't understand the hype of Bruno.
Dog, that actually is very sad to me, yeah? Like, not anything against Bruno or whatever, that way. But, like, take it like this, right? Bruno is not as good as Thomas Muller, right? That is, I give one. Right? It was how intelligent Muller is, I think, right? But, like, we watched Muller his whole career, and nobody ever thought to say, dog, you know, Muller is one of the best midfielders in the world. Whatever. Like, we knew how good he was. We knew his pedigree and stuff like that. But because of the caliber of men that he was competing against to be a midfielder, he just never entered the conversation, no matter how much accolades he had. He was just known as a real good player. we are footballers now. We have this man who can't weigh a pass, probably a card dribble, and he's magnifico. And men want to compare with KDB, who's our all time.
Yeah, I still don't understand like,
that. But you know, it is
a midfielder. Like, what is Mula, though? Could we call him a midfielder? I don't know what to.
He's around.
Not to call him, though.
Yeah.
The one and only.
Yeah. Okay, well, we try to waste time for Salik to reach out. Well, rough. He takes it too long to go. Okay, guys, so. No joke. I actually think people really did enjoy like the random question thing. So I really would like to implement it a little more. So I'll try to think of some more. Yeah, no, because dog, men messaged me about saying telepathic that Batman is not a superhero. That he's a vigilante.
Who, for everybody that think Batman is not a superhero, Johnny could drop my phone number in the description or something. I'll just call him because I'm willing to fight that one down. I'm willing.
Men were saying that he wasn't a superhero.
They were saying Batman is not a superhero. He's a vigilante. And then they was like, because vigilantes kill people.
How much people say that? How much people say that? Like 10, 11? What do you think?
I want you to Google.
We have Batman. 4 dance viewers out there. 4 the dance viewers, dog. Big up yourself, dog. Big up yourself if you're dance and you're viewing.
Dog, I don't like how you're
shading my boy Nikhil
like that.
Dog.
Nikhil, real faking him. No, this man hella faking it. This man will answer instead of answering the weed, dog. That is blow my mind, in it.
But wait. Talk back for one second, Patrick. Anybody who disagrees about Batman's superhero, Google Batman, and the first 4 words of the Wikipedia article is Batman is a superhero. So,
appreciate that. And you know Wikipedia is a reliable source.
Exactly.
We know that from a long time, so.
I have a degree, dog. I use Wikipedia for that degree.
Facts. Yeah.
On that note, guys, we'll get straight into it. So, as everyone knows by now, like, I'll be real, like, so this weekend was, like, FA Cup weekend. So, I was really trying to figure out, like, maybe we should just, like, abandon talking about, like, current stuff in football and just do, like, some filler content. And then you get club. No? Okay, you want to talk about Norwich? Do you want to talk about Norwich? No, please, tell me. You want to talk about how the man string up Alisson from, like, 40 yards out? That's a real good finish. To be fair,
Alisson just leave some shots in the
dog. Alisson is the funniest keeper in the world, dog. That man, like, when needed to, will save every single thing under the face of the earth. But against Norwich, he did not. Big bad thing, I know Alisson was there, like, being real. Why am I playing?
He had the armband on it. He, like, all right.
He chilling.
It was a good finish. You can see it.
Sorry, right now, Jurgen Klopp has decided to call it a time on Liverpool coming at the end of the season. I will never be able to talk well enough up on him compared to, obviously, you and other Liverpool fans. But as a neutral, I genuinely have loved this guy. I think he's up there. Top 3-4 Premier League managers ever. And I really do think that I really don't care how this comes across. That it is very unfortunate that he has put together some of the best reign that I've ever seen over our club. And it was against Pep Guardiola. And also against the corruption that has entailed with them. And thus, like, this man has managed to attain 3 of the highest points tallies ever and unfortunately only has 1 league title to go with it. But in terms of transformative impact and everything that he's done for this club and for the league and for English football, it has been truly amazing. And there is no words to be expressed that could really embody everything that he has. So before we go any further, well, first of all, Salik, welcome. You good?
I apologize for being so late. I hate bureaucracy. Just putting that out there. So,
if you had 3 wishes to make Salik with respect to football, what it would be?
Mbappe to leave PSG, but not to go to Real Madrid. The second one would be...
Why he had this ready?
Yeah.
The second one would be Griezmann to come to the Premier League. And the third one would be...
Don't lie. Not Griezmann, the Comprem. Say what you want to say.
No, I take him in the Prem regardless. The third one would be for an Asian team to win the World Cup. That'd be the third one.
I like that. You see, Salek coming here, I was unselfish. Everybody else is extremely selfish on what they said. But yeah, you... there's no better way for this to start off than with you, bro. Talk about, I want to just guide you a little bit. I want you to talk about, like, the shock that you did feel, obviously, where it was, how you received the news, that kind of thing, and how you felt now, knowing that the 10 years coming, and how you felt about the time that he spent at the club.
So firstly, I just can't believe what they believe in this propaganda that he's leaving the club. That's not true. I've talked to my sources. And they have confirmed that it is an April Fool's joke, just a few months in advance. And in a few, you know, I went to Snoop Dogg, so he was quitting smoke. It's like one of the situations, you know, he's going to announce in a few days that it is just
a hoax.
Yeah, but when I get a news, so, my alarm went off to go, well, actually, for my good friend to go to work. And I rolled over because I was like, you know what, let me go and go to the gym in the morning. Because,
nice.
You know, yeah, so I see I got tagged in our chat, and I was like, add you on, WTF.
So, oh, yeah, that was me.
Nah, it wasn't you, it was Daquan, actually. Shout out Daquan.
Oh, okay.
So I scroll in.
Actually, so Daquan,
yeah. Breaking, you're going to clap announcers, you're leaving the and he's like, no, there's no way this man fall for that way. And I'm like, wait, Daquan wouldn't fall for that. I open up Twitter, and I see the level bitch was said, I literally, like, my girlfriend get up, dog, and she get ready, and I just sitting on the edge of the bed, like, and then she's like, what? Well, like, dog, like, you got Klopp is leaving Liverpool. She's like, what? And no, I was so upset. Though. Like, I literally just, I didn't get out of bed. Though. I was just like, there's no way. Like, I watched the video. And when he said, like, you know what? Like, I'm exhausted. I said, dog, fair enough. Though. You have, like, the hardest job in football. And I was just like, I was to my core where, like, I didn't expect it to happen. Because remember when he extended in 2022? And he said that he feels re-energized. And then even last summer after the window, he said he feels that he has the energy. But then when you really get to the integrity of it, because the thing is, when you're losing Klopp, dog, like, there's no possible upgrade now. You're not, there's no way you can get any step now is a step down. So it's just like, any confidence I had in the future there is just like, it take a hit. So I'm just like, wait, we have this team right now. We haven't lost a game in the Premier League this season because that's where this game doesn't count. And you know, these people playing some incredible ball, and you're just like, wait, you walking away from all that. But then I saw that he said one of the reasons he said he's leaving the season, not next season, is because he was just like, he see them playing ball, and he was like, all right, I don't really need to be here again. These people playing good football, and my transitional work is done. So I was just like, damn, we actually so good that the man decided he busting out. But in terms of how it made me feel, dog, like, and I think every Liverpool fan will agree with me, I feel like you're genuinely losing somebody, like a family member, dog. Like, like my formative years, before Klopp came into Liverpool, I was a big football fan, but I didn't like the level of I will wake up to watch Liverpool play every single day when they play in. I'll find a stream, whatever, or I will get up and one thing that was big for me too, and I was telling my girlfriend this too. But it's like, as soon as Klopp came in, so Klopp came in 2016, sorry. 2015, I'm losing my mind right now, dog. My head is gone, 2015. But he came in, I was writing Cape in 2016, so whatever. I missed a few games because of lessons, but I got to watch Klopp Liverpool in the early stages. I really like, you know, you fall back in love with the game after all this pain or whatever. And when I moved away to study, Klopp was like, that was the constant every weekend. I watched Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. I made friends from watching Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. So much memories from that team. One of the big reasons that me and my dad were able to keep so close, that's one thing too. We'd always be catching up about football. Even when I was back in Trinidad, every time we played, me and him would always get up. We might go out, we're watching the game 7:30 in the morning. That's our thing, right? And yeah, boy, it's like it really feel like a formative time in my life, where your club was like this uncle who doesn't even know I exist, who kind of guide my development, man. Because anybody will tell you, your club outside of football, it's like you lose. We're not losing the manager, we're losing the man now, way. And I think I said somewhere in our group chat, he could go into politics if he wanted. So he could go into motivational speaking. Though I'll back him to do well wherever he does. I really hope that, you know, he comes back at some point. But it's a crazy feeling where it's like, I will always remember where I was when I found out Jürgen Klopp was leaving. I remember how I felt. Because it's just like, it really just feels like you're grieving right now. Mm-hmm. And that's just for me. But I feel like I don't know the only Liverpool fan in Trinidad.
Yes, everybody took on fan though.
But all of us were just like, dog, what? Like, it was crazy. And the group chat meant like, dog, like, you're joking. And yeah, boy, like, from a footballing perspective, like, you don't even think about it, like, that far. You're just, like, you're thinking about it from just a general
the perspective. The persona.
It's a whole other situation. But yeah.
And I think, like, this is, like, a good example of, like, somebody leaving on great terms, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because, like, I remember when Wenger left, it was more relief than anything else. You know, like, finally getting power to all this now. And so, watching the difference in outpouring, and it's like, no way, you don't want to go, that kind of stuff. Salik, I know you just reached, but how you feel about Jürgen as an opponent? And then I'll actually go to Patrick, who would watch him completely as a neutral. But as a rival fan, as somebody who has won the league while he was in England, and stuff like that, how you feel about Jürgen? And then I would like to also ask you, where you feel he would rank in the all-time managers in the Premier League?
So I have a distinct memory of Jürgen Klopp coming to Liverpool. I was a year above Johan, and I was in upper six at the time. And I remember when the announcement was made, and I sat next to a fellow who is still a Liverpool fan, and I told him the first words that came out of my mouth when I saw him that morning, I was like, bro, that is a match made in heaven. Because if there's one team that Klopp could have gone to when he left Dortmund, and he would have fit the culture of the club perfectly, it was Liverpool. And so said, so done. I think, like, looking at Klopp in his early days, I feel like everybody was like, you know, it was Liverpool was still a banterous club at that time, and I feel like that just carried on up until the point where everybody was like, hold on, this I'm finally seeing what it is Klopp is trying to do. And when everybody kind of like sat down and they were like, hold on, Liverpool looking real serious, like when it comes down to it. And I just feel like, you know, when two extremely strong forces attract like that, it just creates something that is indescribable to some people. Like, this is another thing that I think is important. Like, you need to have seen this Liverpool team with Jürgen Klopp to understand how important he is and how important his teams have been to the growth of not only the English league, but how it's been to football on a whole. Like, that team is probably one of the best teams that you would have seen. I don't want to say in the 21st century, but definitely past 2015, that's one of the best teams you'll ever see.
Yeah.
The only team that rivals that team is Man City. And I mean, in Europe, you're talking about Real Madrid. Those are the only teams that rival that team, in my opinion. So, I mean, and as a rival fan, I mean, I hate it. Like, I absolutely hate that Liverpool got their manager spot on. Like, I hate that they've done it, and we struggle, as Chelsea fan, we struggle to find a good manager every other year. So, you know, looking at it from a rival perspective, like, it has honestly made the league better. And I think that is something that we need to celebrate him for, that this is a big loss for the league.
Bro, like, we were a year ago and Klopp away from turning to the Bundesliga, you know? Like, just
I don't know about that. But I still think that his not only his footballing ability, but his the way he interacts with the media, the way he speaks about certain topics, the way he talks, like he always puts his players first, he always talks about, like, you know, he brings things that we don't see as important, that are important, he brings them to the fore. I think those things are important. I feel like we're losing that. And it's just a case of, you don't know what you have until you don't have it. And that's how I feel with Klopp. I can't remember your next question. You can remember what the next question was?
Well, I think he ranks in the all-time was.
All right, sorry. Right. So this is another thing. And I also think this is very difficult to do because I think Klopp's his trophy record will not reflect how good of a team he had, and I think that's a little sad. However, yeah. I think in terms of a team, like we're talking about a team here, like if you ask me, if I had to pick a team to win a game,
Okay, well, because I know that is true. So then let me ask it like this then. In terms of how a coach has revolutionized a club then, what do you think
he I think the only, Johan will know this better than me, but I've listened to like a lot of Liverpool people talk about this for like the past week. I can't remember how long it's been that he's made the announcement, but like he is on the level of Bill Shankly, and Bill Shankly is like the Messiah of Liverpool. Yeah. And this is, and you know, like when God sent Jesus, this is Jesus. This is Klopp is Jesus. You know, like this is the second coming of somebody who you know who is as who is that good. Yeah. I feel like I said something sacred. He thought it was all gone into flames just now, but you know, it's very few times where a team and a manager fit this well, yeah. And when you look at it, Klopp's Liverpool, you'll always remember this Liverpool. Like you're not gonna remember it for like you can say, well, when Salah played for Liverpool, when Mane played for Liverpool, when Firmino played for Liverpool. But at the end of the day, when Van Dijk played for Liverpool, when Alisson played for Liverpool, but at the end of the day, everybody's gonna say Klopp's Liverpool. Yeah. And that is the team that you're going to remember. And I think that in itself is a huge marker for him. And just the fact that he is going to be remembered. Like it's not gonna be individual players, it's not gonna be the team is not going to be like one-off seasons or anything like that. It's his team and the team that he built. So yeah. I think when it comes to ranking him among like some of the best managers, he's not going to be extremely high up to some people. But if you were here and you watched it and you lived it, you'll definitely say that he's one of the best managers to ever be in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I'll be so honest. Why? Like I know we did the whole world class thing the other day and how important trophies are. But like he's somebody that I think is one of those cases that you make exceptions for because of how monumental a personality that he was and how impactful he was to how we view the game now, to how we view the game today. You know, it was a philosophy that's synonymous with him and stuff like that. Pats, so what I want to ask you then is obviously how you see him as somebody completely on the outside, as well as he has been synonymous with what I think has been over the last like 7 years or so, where we've seen the English clubs do a lot better in Europe. And he has been obviously at the forefront of that, with obviously winning once, being to the final twice and stuff like that, and accounted to many iconic moments. Not even his first year, even when he was just in the Europa League, you know, it had the great comebacks and stuff like that. So what do you think about Jurgen Klopp in that aspect and then how he impacted the English game as how they are represented outside?
Yeah, well, as I said, from the outside looking in, I have no bit of animosity for Klopp. You know, I think he's a guy that is very easy to back him, you know, given his charisma and personality. Yeah, he's a very likable guy. Except maybe for when you're playing against him, and you know my club has probably only played against Liverpool about twice while Klopp was there, and one time we slapped them, so I'll just put that out there anyway.
That is elite shamelessness. That is like on
we don't need level to talk about of the shamelessness.
Next time. He did not lie though. He did not lie.
Hey, fade off.
Just remember, kids, Jordan Henderson play a Champions League final more recently than Liverpool. Is it all men just do is be 5'7" and lie?
But yeah, so I will say I think my biggest takeaway from Klopp as a non-emotional kind of guy, someone from the outside looking in, I think there's a lot to learn from him tactically. There's a lot that I've learned from him tactically as well. He was, I wouldn't say one of the first people to do it, but he definitely made or popularized the press, so much so that they changed it from Gegen Press to Jürgen Press when he came to the Premier League. You know, so much so that was an identity that he brought to the league. And since then, other managers had to take notice of how effective it is to Gegen Press in the Prem. And, you know, City formed their own way of doing it. There was a small point in time Chelsea were playing pressing football. We see it with De Zerbi now in different hybrids and whatever. But to me, the guy that introduced that one to the Premier League was Klopp. That's one of the main things that he brought to the table. And it was fascinating looking at that Liverpool team from year one to about year three, watching them grow and so on, and watching the tactics develop. And then the way that they changed from all-out pressing to the more calculated approach that they do now. Personally, you know, all that is just to say that tactically, I felt like Klopp has brought a lot to the table when it comes to how to press correctly. Apart from that, I think that the way that he's developed players has also been fantastic. That's maybe a part of the game that I don't mention enough when talking about Klopp. I think his player development has been, you know, off the charts. And as a Barcelona fan, where we kind of do a bit of the opposite, you know, our development in the senior team hasn't been the greatest. That's definitely something that I could envy as a guy, again, from the outside looking in. I mean, what he's done to Salah's game, I wouldn't say it's all been him, but he's had a lot of impact in Salah's game and Firmino's as well, because Firmino, bro, his understanding of space was just refined and made elite by Klopp. He was not that type of player before Klopp, I would say. And then Mane too. We've seen how Mane has kind of declined after Liverpool, you know. So yeah, all that to say that I think I really loved how Klopp had the ability to develop players. Because people, in my opinion, more speak on Liverpool as a passion project, for lack of a better term. When you go to play against Liverpool, you know you're getting a lot of passion. And you're getting a lot of passion driven from Klopp as well. And, you know, that feeds into the atmosphere and that whole fortress of Anfield, the whole comeback thing, you know, never ride them out of a game, so on and so forth. I felt it as an opponent, and almost everybody in this call have probably felt it as an opponent of Jürgen as well. But I think an underrated side of his game was the tactical part. I really don't think it's all been passion. I think there's a lot of method behind what he does. And yeah, I think that's a seriously underrated and underspoken, if that's a word, part of what he did at the club. And then on a larger scheme, the way he affected the league, in my opinion, he brought a level of competition to this league that I don't think another manager would have been able to do. Guardiola is fantastic, but you can't compete against yourself. You need a rival. And to me, that's how Klopp was. And in my opinion, you know, for the sake of the call, I would put them on equal terms just for now. In reality, I don't think they are. But let's just say for now that they are, right? You need a rival. Where Cristiano have Messi and, you know, Federer had Nadal and so on and so forth. Let's say Klopp had, forget him. Let's say Klopp had let's say Klopp had Guardiola. And I think the level of competition that he brought to the league is another understated part of how he was able to affect this league. And in a sense, what did I just do? And in a sense, really sparked. I don't know what word to call it, but not so much of a rebuild or whatever, but sparked the understanding that the Prem is the best league in the world now, way. Because from Klopp and from developing that level of competitiveness, I think a lot of high caliber managers have been attracted to the league since then. And now we are at the point where we could sit back and say that over the last 10 years, we have seen many, many, many high-class managers come in and come out of this league and be born in this league as well, and are still, you know, still here operating as well. I wouldn't really put Ten Hag in that one, but I just wanted to make sure that we knew that he's not part of the world class. But yeah, so that is how I think that he affected the club, affected the league, and I think he chose the perfect time to leave. I am a big proponent for athletes and by extension managers walking away at their best, because it does a lot for your legacy and whatnot. Nobody really wants to see you, you know, grovel at the end of your years and then just kind of leave, like, all right. And then you have to sit back and be like, okay, well, you know, 5 years ago, he actually was real good, so let's try to remember that, you know.
I mean, he didn't even have a call to say that, dog. I mean, shucks. I wanted that man for a long time. I think the player development thing is really something that's understated, boy, because, like, you know, when we think about it, right, like, okay, fair enough, Trent, generational talent, dog, like, he just had it from the jump, right? But think about the amount of players that he has brought in, obviously with a board backing him and directing him or whatever, but in terms of players that he had, bro, and that were, like, in the prime of their years, and their career was done along a certain way, and he has repurposed, redirected, and maximized them to the point of achieving everything that they did, you know? You know, and
I mean, even Henderson is a good...
Yeah, Henderson is a good example, too. But, like, bro, they brought in Wijnaldum and Robertson, who were both relegated with their teams. And then became... One was definitely the best in his position in the league and one of the best in the world. And then Wijnaldum was one of the best midfielders in the league for a while as well. Salah was a flop that was labeled as a flop, leaving Chelsea, didn't work out, going to Italy, wasn't even seen as a goal scorer they were bringing in. He was actually known for, I think he had like 17 assists in his last season with Roma when they signed him. And then turned him into uncomfortable conversations could be pending with this guy if he wins the league again this year. You know, Mane at Southampton, Virgil at Southampton. You know, like, this is not a case of where, you know, with Pep, and this is not to discredit him either, but, like, you know, the big money signings from all the big clubs and the biggest talked about players and stuff like that. But in terms of molding players to go on to be it, that is something that Jürgen has done really well. And so the last thing I want to ask about is, before we actually go to Xavi, and then I want to come back on this manager talk, for the way that I had the structures in my head. Virgil, do you think that Jürgen is leaving the squad in a good place or in a bad place where the next manager have a lot to deal with, or that he leaving them in a good place?
Nah, just like what you answered about club reason why you said you leave, because you see the players playing football, they're playing good. I mean, it's true. I feel like we all could see that, because last season was an uncomfortable position for Liverpool, and right now this season, people kind of slept on them in the beginning because of how they performed last season. But I'll be real with you. This Liverpool side right now, they are showing that stubbornness like for all the years before. So I feel like if any manager is to come in right now, the Liverpool not being left in a bad position. And right, and we're talking about Klopp announcing leaving when they currently sit top of the Premier League right now. They currently sit top of the Premier League. They're still in all competitions. And they're looking energized, like, and if the players didn't have a reason as to improve on last season, they have a next reason as to go all out for Klopp. So that's kind of a problem right now for the league. That's how I view it. I view that announcement from a very annoyed place, because I'm like, God, boy, I was waiting for them to slip up, but now they're going to give it their all.
Virgil, mama guy, you know,
when I saw that, I was like, nah, boy, Klopp fully could have one up me. Pep better go right now and announce he really leaving. He leaving 2 years before the season finish.
I mean, Yuan, I don't know if you feel differently about it, boy, but, like, I really did think about it a lot today, and I think that y'all are genuinely not a very good place. Because, like, obviously, the attack got over a whole lot.
I have a lot to say. You know, I was alone with my thoughts.
Okay, well, I'll just say this. I think, like, you can never replace Salah. Like, you would have to. You have to try.
Of course.
But you can't replace him. But in terms of the rest of your attack, it's not a great place. And there's a lot of players that are, like, pre-prime, approaching their prime. And a lot of them have proven that they can't do it at the Premier League level. The midfield got overhauled this summer. We already know that. He don't have a trend coming out of the academy, but you know what else he had? He had Jones as finally establishing himself. He has Bradley, who's breaking through. Kwanzaa has become a regular this season as well. So I think that there's a lot there for a new manager to come and work with now. At least I think so. You can't replace Virgil. You can't replace Salah. These are players that you'll just never be able to replace because of their impact, because of who they are, because of the standards that they have set, the conversations they put themselves into. But, bro, when we think about the place where Arsene Wenger left Arsenal and Ferguson left United, like, bro, talk about aging squads, terrible contract situations, the things that the new manager would have to overturn before they could even begin to think about where they want to scout the squad.
I think that's reflective of how Klopp is as a person, too, now. People, is, you know, you might think I read him too deep, but this is Klopp. Klopp, when he signed his extension, right, he didn't take a wage increase. He just, the only people who got an increase from Klopp last contract extension was his backroom staff. Who leave in with him, too, right? When you look at this squad, again, like, I think everybody knew when Ferguson leave and Moyes had, and he said Moyes is the chosen one out of the, well, you know, that was the nickname that came in, right? After Mourinho, but yeah, like when he appointed Moyes as a successor, people was like, "We're going on here," because people didn't rate Moyes. Moyes is still an incredible manager, and maybe Man United give him time. But anyway, like when I think in hindsight, again, hindsight is 2020. When you look back at the squad now that Klopp is leaving, you're like, "Wait, no, maybe he did kind of plan it out that a new generation will be coming." And my big concern really is because what I think is a very underrated part of Klopp game, like Klopp had pulling power by himself though. Klopp used to talk to people.
Yeah, for sure.
To sign, right?
Yeah.
They say when they interviewed Naby Keita yesterday after the game, and he said, "Boy, that's like my father," and he leaving the club, and I was real sad and thing. And that's to tell you because people looked outside in on Naby Keita and was like, "Hey, boy, Klopp hates him." Look how highly Naby Keita speaks of Klopp and whatever.
But I mean, he didn't play enough to hate him, so.
Yeah, I mean, people just hate him because he take that wild shot in the final that year. But I was a big Naby Keita fan, and I do believe in Jules messing up, right? A lot. I mean, that's just facts.
Yeah.
Nah, but I mean, like, my big concern right now, I don't know, y'all saw probably what Virgil had said today, I'm sure. Not you, Virgil, but Van Dijk. When he was like, he's not really sure what's going on. And it's funny because I read the article and it was basically a very media trade response. Like, oh, yeah, let's see what's going on.
I mean, I can't lie. I feel like he could have said, well, you know, I'm very happy at the club or whatever. But,
you know, he's very happy at the club.
I don't think he would leave either. And I think, you know what's the other good thing is that maybe it is that Salah and call it his time this summer. Like, a lot of people have been feeling that before. Even if they do, and I'll be real, I don't think he will. I actually think he'll stay. And
me too.
And because, dog, these players just talk to each other. You know? Dog, you see how all these Saudi men go on there and all leaving, including his brethren Henderson?
Correct.
Dog, they will let him know the realities of being there and why they left. And if those reasons apply to him, I think he'll just extend and he'll stay, right?
The only difference is, I would say, though, is because Salah is from those countries, it may be a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's more familiar with the culture.
Arabic culture and stuff.
He's not from those countries. I want to be like, oh, but yeah, he's more familiar, right, with the lifestyle and whatever. Again, the kind of adulation he gets there is comparable to what he gets in Liverpool too, which is kind of crazy. But Salah competitiveness is what might keep him in England.
Okay, so I'm gonna do a hard switch now to Barca, and then I with Xavi, because then I want to
ain't
come back
care about that.
And talk about just like managers and recruitment and potentially where the two clubs could go and the differences and stuff like that. Because on one side we have a manager that's adored not just by Liverpool fans but by football watchers in general. And then we have this guy who has been on Fraud Watch for God knows how long now. And thus, we're going to start with you, Patrick, and then afterwards, I'm going to let Salek lean into you. So, Pat.
Okay.
Okay, well, I can give you all the story of where I was when I received the news and whatnot. You know, how I'll always remember that for the rest of my life. And the impact that Xavi has had on the club and so on and so forth. you know. You know. You know. Unanswered. Anyway, look, it was funny. Without trying to drag the story along or whatever, we had just dogged up a 3-2 lead. I wasn't getting to watch the game because I was driving home. Cause you know my girl just have me all over the place, so I was driving home with the phone like this. I mean, for the viewers, I wasn't doing that. Somebody was telling me about the game while I was driving, fully attentive. And I saw 3-2, or I heard at least, you know, 3-2. And I was like, all right, cool. We should be good, 3 points on the board, so on and so forth. Great. I'll watch the highlights when I get home. Soon as I got home, which is, mind you, just about 10 minutes after the 3-2, I saw 5-3, wasn't even surprised. And said, all right, yeah, that kind of adds up, you know, in what has been going on. And I told Miguel, who doesn't really watch football or anything, but always willing to hear me say something, as long as it's not too long, you know. I was like, Gil, we had this manager here called Xavi, and I really hope that they sack this man today, boy. Like, really and truly, I really hope they sack this man, because this one here was unforgivable. Mm-hmm. That 5-3, in my opinion, was fully unforgivable. And then I ranted about Lewandowski a little bit too, and I had to explain to her who Lewandowski is and so on. And I just, you know, it went bad after that. But
you can just show her TikTok.
I did. She said she never see him, so I guess he named that great on TikTok, dog. So whatever. But look, right, I was ready for him to get sacked, and then he decided to walk away from the job, which I think is cool, save your dignity and whatever. Because look, as a player, dog, I always like Xavi. Okay, there's nothing he could have come and fully diarrhea all over my club. I would just still like him, you know. It's Xavi, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I understood that he needs to leave, right? Because he, as a manager, is not there yet. I back the man to become a good manager. Maybe not one of the greats, but I back him to see success in the future. But where he is now is not going to help the club at all. And as a fan, I need somebody to come and help this club, because this club needs help, though. And then I saw that he didn't step away from the club. No, he said he would leave in June. And I thought, okay. Could I leave now? But you want to stay till June? No problem. He might be one of the first people to announce that they're leaving and get sacked anyway. Because I don't know if he will make it until June. If I'm being honest with you.
Yo, that is crazy, dog. That is crazy.
Because me personally, I don't know if he will make it until June. But again, I back him to make it. I really hope he make it, dog. I think the timing is good. Let me actually, you know, stop clowning around now. I think leaving in June is better than leaving now, because it gives the club time to prepare for that transition. As I was telling Soraya, if he was to get sacked today, it could be seen as a good thing, but the manager coming in is going to have a hard time, and then we kind of back to square one, you know, where we're going to have somebody that comes in and be a little caretaker for 3, 4, 5 months, and then probably going to look to flip it again in June. And I just think it would be too much turnover. If the club could stick with him until the end of the season, I think that is a smart decision. And at the moment, it looks like they're making the smart decision. It also gives you a lot of time to prepare for the successor, you know, and it gives that successor time to prepare for the job. I think it's a good thing. In terms of Xavi leaving the club, yes, I think it's time. I do support him to go on and hopefully make a decent career. As for the club, time got to tell. You know, we had to see who comes in. And we had to hope that we get somebody who really mean business. Because I think the club is at a point where there are a few signings away from getting back not to their best, but getting back to at least a level of competitiveness, you know? But we need a manager who understands how to take care of these players more so than we need talent in the club. I think the club has talent. We are a manager away and maybe a striker away from being there.
You're okay.
Yeah, man. And yeah, maybe. Maybe. The next R9, hopefully. Or R19, if he fall a little lower. We gotta see. Yeah. Facts. Facts. But yeah, that's about it for me, though.
I'm so glad that view and doing that thing is on a record, and I'm so glad about that.
Yeah, the WhatsApp group gonna go
on. All right, Talik, all you, bro.
So, I don't... you all know that I have had some very strong words to say about Xavi.
For real?
For the past however long he's been at Barcelona. However, I'm not going to use today to like say anything negative about him, because I do think it would be very bad for us to like, you know, go in on him after making this announcement. But what I do want to say about Xavi is, and I think this is as true a statement as you'll hear from me today, I think of all the player managers, well, not player managers, all the players who retired that went into management very shortly after retiring, I actually think Xavi has done the best out of all of them, you know. And I've been very, very honest about that.
No, they like, replaced Salah with a robot, but that's chat.
I think winning the league is, you know, people could say whatever they want. And they could say, you know what, Stegen had a blinder, yeah, and, you know, whatever, and all those things. But I still think that winning the league is a very difficult thing to do. It's 38 games. That's not something to just, you know, gloss over. Winning the league is very impressive. I do think, however, Barcelona put him in a very difficult position, and they tried they did all these things with the levers, and they tried to sell their rights and all these things to try and breed success. And I still think it was a very bad move to put it into the hands of Xavi, who was an inexperienced manager, who not only did he have to learn how to deal with the management side of the football aspect of the club, but he also had to deal with the pressure that comes along with it, and the extra pressure that the club has put onto him. I don't think that was fair to him, in all seriousness. So, I mean, has he done well at Barca? I mean, I'm not a Barca fan, so from the outside looking in, I will tell you no. But, I mean, he's done some, and I mean, we also can't like overlook the fact that he's also brought a lot of players, like from not the Barca Academy, but he's also brought a lot of players to Barcelona who have now, like, these are household names now. Like, whatever you think about Pedri and Gavi, they are household names now. They start for Spain. They are players that we're going to see for the next 10, 15 years. You could say what you want about Yamal. Yamal is 16. He's doing whatever he could do.
Bale recently got injured.
The youngest player we've talked about on this pod, just then, you know. Balde got injured recently, unfortunately, but like he also came out under Xavi. I think Xavi has done a lot of good for Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I just think that putting him in such a position was not the best idea. Mm-hmm. And do I think he could have done better? Yes. But is it difficult circumstances? Is extremely difficult circumstances. So I'm not going to be extremely harsh on him. But, you know, the club have a big decision to make, because, like, you know, following Xavi, who was an inexperienced manager, like, do you go back to inexperience? Mm. Because then was the point of Xavi going? Or, like, why couldn't you have kept him if you're going to pick another inexperienced manager? So I feel like Barcelona, I think Xavi has done, Xavi's power, there's a power play by Xavi, yeah? Like, Xavi has literally been like, well, here what, Barcelona, I'm not dealing with this anymore. So Ole had to figure it out. And Xavi is no longer going to take the brunt of this. Whoever appoints the next manager, that is who the fans are going to blame now. Like, he is no longer going to be, the manager is not going to take the fall for anything anymore. So I think Xavi has done a great thing by saying he wants to leave, whether it's on top, leaving on top or not. Excellent timing to leave. Like, I don't think his reputation will go any lower than what it is right now.
With that, Virgil, do you think, like, there's anything Xavi could have done better or to save the situation? Do you think it's unfair, given that he only won the league last year? They are fifth. They are finally true to the knockouts. Do you feel like it's a bit being blown out of proportion? They have a lot of injuries as well. Or It was
justified. But it's his decision.
Yeah, but it was his decision.
But
you know what some guys tell you, like, I didn't walk out of the old terms of we got a fire kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. You think it's like that, Patrick?
I don't think it's like that yet, but he, let me say it like this. He is one round of 16 exit away from being sacked.
Yeah.
Right. Because if that round of 16 don't go good for him, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Virgil.
Yeah, honestly, from everything that you just list out that Xavi has won or accomplished with Barcelona, I really feel the best thing out of everything that happened in his career at Barcelona was the announcement. Like, this is literally the best thing he has done for Barcelona. But just like what Brandon said, right now, it just put the light on everybody else but him. Because we know where Barca is right now, where they are in the league, we know where they are in Champions League. If things get worse, that's not his fault. If the players can't now fight and can't now try to finish the season strong for him, it doesn't matter for him because he going at the end of the season. But I honestly feel like what he did, yeah, I feel like it wouldn't make sense for him to wait till the end of the season to announce that right now, because I feel like nobody was looking at the Barca season right now and felt that it could be salvaged. The hope may have been like a surprise. Well, I'm not about to say the Copa del Rey, but after that match, no. So the only thing we're going now is the Champions League, and the hope is to make a surprise push. You know, probably get to semifinals, but probably, you know, try to get the luck of the draw and see if things can happen. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, the season ain't looking too fruitful for Barcelona. And another thing too, like every single time we've been talking about Xavi and talking about his experience, Barca have to also remember is inexperienced Xavi going up against one of the best managers of all time, Ancelotti. And then when we have these other teams right now, just, you know, Barca have the name, these other teams right now causing problems and everything for Barcelona. Yeah. There's so much one man could do. So I feel like right now what Xavi did, yeah, I feel it is good on him. I feel it's good, a good decision that he made.
Okay, so I want to lead us into something. But before that, I'm going to ask each one of you all to tell me, one, you can't repeat people. Two, you can't say Xabi Alonso for Liverpool. I want you to say who you would hire for Barcelona and for Liverpool. Okay. And I'm giving all you 10 seconds from right now to figure out the answer. And you can't repeat people. So I am very much looking forward to somebody volunteering to go first. Mm. We'll do Liverpool first, and then you'll do Barca.
Yeah, even let me go last time.
Liverpool is hard.
So for Liverpool, Deserby or Amarim, but my first choice is Xavi. But anyway, oh, Xavi Alonso, not Xavi. But yeah, it is a Barca. I don't think it's who they could have appointed, it's who they could afford.
Yep.
So that's a real up in the air, up in smoke kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Cool.
I can answer for Barca.
Yeah.
I am all for bringing Ernesto Valverde back to the club. I liked him when he was there. He's doing good at Betis right now.
Yeah,
That's a good show.
Yeah, he's Spanish too. I think that makes a big difference. Yeah, if they were to pull the trigger on Valverde, say no more. I cool with that. Not Xavi Alonso, that Madrid man, though. They better not even look his way, though.
I don't know why I like pretending like I get Xavi Alonso, let's be real.
Come on, man, we had
our
pull,
dog.
We have that
pull, dog. Dog, if there's one thing, Barca's experts at pulling, dog. You want to leave us, they pull.
Leaving for free, too.
Dog.
Leaving for free, too, dog.
I see a Barca fan of my time, right? But you're going to club to FCB 2025, right? See? Ain't no way First Citizens Bank could ever land Jurgen Klopp. Because it can't be FC Barcelona.
You know, like, low-key, I don't even think it would be a good match, you know. Like, nothing against Klopp. I just don't think it would be a good match. You know what I mean? He'll probably come and do great things, though. But It just don't suit.
It don't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Salik.
Which one you want? Do you want Liverpool or you want Barca?
I want both, bro. We done every them abandoned what I was trying to do. So I want both.
Okay, so
oh, Liverpool,
I can't say who everybody said already. So I'm gonna go with Thomas Frank. And I've said this before on the podcast.
Pause. I think why you do that though? Why are you doing that?
What do you mean?
You say you can't say who everybody has said before. When you and I both know that you think Thomas Frank is actually a very good candidate for this job.
By Man City deserve and Alonso can't say deserve.
Yeah, but he said Amarim too. But you was not going to say them. You wanna say Frank anyway.
Would you really say deserve? Yeah.
Would you all say deserve?
No, I was gonna say Frank. Exactly. I was gonna say Frank. But right. Yeah. So I've said this before. I think Frank has done a very good job at Brentford. I think his tactics are very underrated in the league. I think he's very good at managing players, especially when a team is on a tight budget and he gets the best out of certain players. So I think that's also something I'd like to see. I also think that he has a lot of players at Liverpool who could play what Frank would try to do. I'm not 100% sure what he would do, but I do think that's a very outside shout. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like I wouldn't see it happening, but I would like to see it happen. I think like he's done enough to like, you know, his stock has gone up for me, and I think like he could take a bigger club and do well. I actually have a very interesting pick for Barcelona. I don't know if I've done it, Daniel.
Yes, please.
But I have Marco Rosa, who is currently the coach of RB Leipzig. I think he's not known for playing like, you know, he's not known for his defensive coaching. However, I think I remember watching his Leipzig team as well as when he was at Dortmund. And when he was at Dortmund, I thought Dortmund were playing some of the best football. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he also coached Mönchengladbach before.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think like I remember watching a few of their games and I was like, wow, these fellas playing some insane football, boy. So I feel like that's what Barcelona need. They need somebody to come in and play nice, exciting football. It might not win all the time, but I feel like it's better than collecting 5-4 every other game and without scoring like 10. So I would put Marco Rosa as a good candidate for the next Barcelona manager job.
I mean, to be fair, I could see where you're going with it, you know, because we kind of have the players that will shoot his play style too. And if you bring Xavi Simons along with him, then cool, you know. The defensive part, but to be fair, we kind of playing like that now, you know. Whereas, like, we'll try to go forward and outscore the opponent. It doesn't work, though. But if he can make that work, then, I could definitely see where you're going with it. And, since I'm talking, I might as well just give the Liverpool shot one time. I didn't realize we were supposed to give like both at the same time.
Yeah, well,
But small thing, I was on an outside shot, dog. It probably would not happen. But I feel like every summer they just have talk about Don Carlo leaving Madrid. I think a guy like him would be the perfect guy for Liverpool. And here's why, right? Because I don't think there's any manager that could come to Liverpool and do better than what Klopp did. Also, the psychology of Klopp leaving the club is bigger than just losing a manager. You're kind of losing piece of the furniture, you know. You have to think now about how are the players going to respond to a new manager who's coming to, you know, quote-unquote, change things up, you know. Or how do you react to a new manager who just can't match the energy of Klopp or, you know, wants to tweak things or doesn't have the relationship with the players that Klopp had. And the players are accustomed to having a good relationship with the manager. And this is just someone new. A lot happens when someone like Klopp leaves and someone new comes in. The reason that I'll go with Carlo is because I don't think he is the type of manager to come and change much from a tactics point of view. I think he's the kind of guy to come, develop good relationships, and have the culture of the club just continue. So when it comes to on-the-day stuff, I think he just functions as a man manager and the system prevails, if you see what I'm saying. I think that would be excellent for the next 2 years at Liverpool.
Patrick,
so
Patrick, that's a good yeah. shout, and it's something I definitely had think about before. I mean, things I don't know. I don't think he'll leave Madrid.
Maybe not.
Summer.
But do you all think that he would be willing to do that? Like manage an ex club in the same country? You manage Chelsea. I think he can.
He managed Everton.
You study in Chelsea.
Casual. I mean, to be fair, the Merseyside thing.
Dog, let me tell you. So the thing is, dog, like, it's literally the exact same thing you say there. When somebody, like, he's a good man manager, like, anybody will tell you about Carlo. Watch how he's able to unlock abilities. Like, Vinicius, for example, his trajectory changed completely under Carlo, right? But, especially with a young team, we see what he do with this Madrid side too. The thing is, as I say, dog, no managers are step up in pedigree from club that like realistic, but Carlo is a step up in pedigree from when you watch it, dog, Carlo is one of the only people who could really hold that torch there, which would be exciting, but I think we'll probably go for somebody younger. That's the thing.
Probably.
Cool. Who's the answer?
Well, yeah, but okay, well yeah, since you answered and somebody younger. Is it for Liverpool? Liverpool is a difficult one. I feel like for Barca in a position where they can snatch almost anybody, but I feel like Barca need to take a little chance. Barca could do a little Roy Hudson, you know. I feel bringing a little Roy Hudson.
The fuck?
China, yeah. Because see Barca.
What are you trying to do?
Bro, Roy Hodgson will get to that side. Think it's Crystal Palace. And we'll call Bale, Tyreek Mitchell, though.
No, Zaha to Barcelona confirmed.
You will see Lewandowski and... That's crazy.
I mean, Natalia Klein confirmed, dog.
I tell you. But hey, if Barca want a little experimental year, they should do that.
Dog, this is like when Sam Allardyce was like, he should be managing Real Madrid, dog.
I think so. I feel like if Barca want to do like an experimental thing, Barca could do a little that. It's like Gary O'Neill too from Wolves. I feel like.
Oh,
that's a Liverpool. He actually coached under Klopp already.
Come on, right there.
That man said Roy Hodgson, you know, though.
I feel like...
Bro, Roy Hodgson have European pedigree. Yeah, don't get tired.
But you see for Liverpool, the main thing is you're looking for... I just say, you're looking for somebody to fit the culture, but somebody also young as well. I feel...
Dog, you know, Oliver Roy Hodgson coach Inter Milan already, I'm
saying. Mm-hmm. I feel...
Yeah.
No, Virgil, in your iteration of Hodgson coming to Barca, do we get Eze or Ulis? Again, either of those two?
You know he'll find a way to bring them with him. You know for sure he'll find a way to bring them with him.
No, if he bring Eze, I'll take it.
Liverpool now?
Say no
I
more.
I feel... Liverpool...
If you say one name, I take it.
Liverpool could do a little... Liverpool could do magic with Robert Woods. Because Robert Woods is a good coach. Because Luton looking like a... Luton looking decent.
He passes the hand.
That's
a big thing. Hey, if it's one thing,
he passes the face.
The man, that man, image rights. Come on, that man is right with a good. The man could, you know, be on his side.
Alright, you know what? I got none of this.
But honestly, one other person. I feel like seriously. I feel like would be an interesting person. I'm not too sure how it will be because you know, their man the Prem don't really mix as much. But I really feel like I would like to see Inzaghi on Liverpool, you know.
I did think about it.
One thing, yeah, we don't know
about Yeah, that's my whole point.
That's why I'm again with this movie. Yeah.
I don't feel like... But
I would have loved to see Inzaghi in the Prem.
I would love to see Inzaghi in the Prem. But honestly, one person, the first person I was thinking about when you asked this question... was who Brandon mentioned, Rosa. So I was like, because I feel like he's somebody I feel he will be on the shortlist for both Barca and Liverpool. Yeah. I feel mm-hmm. Barca will take a chance, you know. Barca will take a chance on something.
So the thing is, right, like, yeah, well, you could go with John, but I was going to say, like, the thing is, the way Liverpool operate, especially in the winter club, I think the internal staff knew he was going to leave from November. They would have, I think they already identified a replacement.
Yeah. No. And so that's the thing, right? I'm going to say somebody, and I'm going to contradict when we start the next topic. But is somebody that I think that given that he was not super speed in club, I think that he would have been a goal. Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to get Vexen medal. It's Peter Bosch. I don't feel like he was thinking I was going to say him. But PSV has been excellent over the last 2 years. And the football that they play is very high-intensity football. And so it's something that I think that Liverpool could have gotten behind a lot. What you thought I was going to say, though?
I will tell you when you finish, bro.
Okay. But yeah, they have actually, in terms of like making home a fortress, though they have PSV in Europe even, no matter who has visited, do not lose at home. And I think that there's a lot of similarities in style of play and stuff like that with the Jurgen Klopp. But I kind of... Anyways, I'll get into that after.
So, if we take it a manager from the Dutch league, where I don't want to earn a slot from Feyenoord.
Dog, so, you know, fair enough. Because their football is also great, right? But the other thing I was going to... for Barca, I was actually going to say Nagelsmann for Barca. And reason being, one, they would have to not pay anything for him. You could see he's literally out of contract from Germany in the summer. And two, Patrick, tell my life. Every time we talk about Barca, like whether it be on the pod or casually, you complain about the lack of identity or tactics going forward. Now, like there is no actual plan for them to create. Dog, for all the complaints that I think you and legitimately does have of Nagelsmann, is that he does find ways for his team to create chances going forward. And I think in terms of a person who we have already seen do good development or work with young players, especially at Leipzig, that going into the Barca crop or stuff like that, I think it's somewhere that, like, okay, he can sink his feet into a big club, a big name, and get his project really going. When I think Bayern did him a disservice because of Tuchel becoming available, and he could get to do at Barca what he would have wanted to do at Bayern. So, yeah.
Dog, to be honest, I just don't think the German style suits a Spanish club.
Fair enough.
That might sound racist, but I don't want a German at the club.
Patrick, don't most Barca coaches, either they're from Spain or they coach Barca before?
Sorry, say that again.
Either they're from Spain or they played for Barca.
Barca coaches, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
most of the coaches. And the thing is, because I think Barcelona is one of the clubs in the world with one of the strongest identities that way.
So, to come in,
I feel like you need a history with the club. Also, I don't think Nagelsmann could just... John Ariel, sorry for shooting you down, dog. I know that is not what we're trying to do. But I don't think Nagelsmann could come and see success with a back three either. And you know that what he's going to try to do. You know that, right? Like, you're sure about that. Yeah. So,
I don't see why not, though. I mean, all they have Koundé, Christensen, and Araujo, though. I don't see why not.
Because the culture is 3-4-3.
The culture is 3-4-3. What do you mean? Oh, okay, fair enough. But I was going to say that...
3-4-3-3. Sorry, hold up. 4-3-3.
The other person I had in mind was actually... But you see, I had a Peter game now, but I like legitimately not stop thinking. Was Iraola. He's doing really well, obviously, with Bournemouth. And he has shown in La Liga that he can do really well there as well. Because he took Espanyol up to 8, I think it was, in the table.
A question for you specifically, right, John? Because this morning I see an article talking about how Arteta could have a lot of success. Appreciate that, by the way. And, show him where they are in the table, please. Yeah.
Bournemouth are 12. Yes, Bournemouth are 12.
Yeah.
Bournemouth. Okay, no problem.
It's pronounced Bournemouth.
Yeah, Fox. I saw an article linking, well, not linking, saying that Arteta might have success at Barca. What do you think about that as a avid Arteta looker?
Well, the thing is, right, they're saying success. Success for Barca is to win the league and to win Champions League. Well, apparently not just win the league because they're firing a man who win the league, right? Arteta is yet to prove that he can do that at that level. And so I think that is a miscorrelation then, you know? And do I think
so that what about Bournemouth guy though?
Right. But the difference is that one is actually competing at a level where he is competing for the league. So he has to prove that he's at this level. Can you do it at the level? You know?
Mm.
I think that's different. I'm going
to tell you who actually going to coach all the way. I'm going to tell you who actually going to coach all the way. Fabregas is going to end up as the coach.
I really hope not.
Actually, the outside shot I was thinking about is that Pep does not really
love Fabregas. Doesn't love Barcelona as much as you think.
He doesn't.
Don't worry about it. He's going to go and coach them.
He doesn't love the club that much.
It's going to be one of those appointments that happen.
I don't see it, bro. Sorry.
And then years later, you're just like, dog, why did that even happen? Because he's gonna be like Frank De Boer. He's gonna last like a month, and he's gonna just be.
Yeah. I don't see that, dog. I really
hope not, though.
Okay, guys. So my next
thing, Fabregas.
I don't want to cross this hour and a half. You have to. These are because to see what he's gonna say.
Okay, I just wanna ask Daniel. So you like Marco Rosa more than Nagelsmann, even though they both German. Okay.
Yeah.
And the second thing I was gonna say is, I also think a very low key good pick for Liverpool is Graham Potter. And I mean that very sincerely. I think that's a very low-key good pick.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So, the next two things that I wanted to bring up was, one, is that Barcelona obviously, have had success over the last 15 years, right? Like, let me not pretend that they have not, right? And a big part of what Barcelona's philosophy in terms of hiring managers is, as Patrick said, is either ex-players or Spanish players. And more often, Spanish managers, sorry, and more often than not, they are interlinked. You know, it's Spanish ex-players and stuff like that, right? And when we look at more English teams' practices in hiring and firing coaches, it is a lot different in terms of the approach, you know? Like, for example, Barca itself, right? Barca hired Valverde. No link to Barca, but he was a well-performing coach, Spanish coach in that league. He getting move up. Mm-hmm. Another example of that is Luis Enrique. His Celta Vigo was doing well, getting move up, and did really well, right? But then now when we look into the Premier League and we look at how the hiring and firing practices go there, with the exception of, you know, Graham Potter, which was recently traded off, didn't work out, and Poch, who went from Southampton to Spurs, and then way back to when Moyes went from Everton to United, we don't really see that jump where a manager does well at the Europa level club to probably 10th around there and be afforded the jump to the bigger clubs. But we do see it abroad. We see it in Italy all the time. Pick your club, that's kind of what happens there. So how come we don't see it in the Prem? Or we don't see it with Premier League bigger clubs? And that is the question I had for y'all. Because now we're going to talk about, Xabi Alonso should go to Liverpool. Instead of I know Salik mentioned it, but instead of talking that Thomas Frank goes to Liverpool, you know? So instead of looking within the league, for somebody who's already accustomed to the league, knows the league in and out, we're going to look foreign because there's a tendency that has been laid. But why not?
I feel like that's not a good way to describe Xabi Alonso going to Liverpool.
No, yeah, but is somebody doing well foreign?
No, but you're acting like Xabi Alonso is just somebody who doesn't have a connection.
No. He does, right? It was an example, okay? You know? Like,
the thing is, when you look at everybody linked, is people linking Nagelsmann because he's a German young manager. People linking every other short typhoon besides Amarin probably has been within England.
Mm-hmm.
It's been De Zerbi. And Frank is actually not an unpopular show. People have been saying Thomas Frank. But at the end of the day, dog, and you can call man, and next episode for this one, I'll give you like a 1.5 weeks of why Xabi Alonso should be the Liverpool manager. But yeah, it's like, I don't think that, you see, the reason people don't make that jump in the Prem is because right now, the Prem has had like its top spots loaded. In terms of managers, like the first three months, like Pep and Cup been there for however long. Ateta was anointed. What was Ateta doing before? He was at at City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spurs, Andrew's actually a real good outside show, by the way. Yeah. But, because he's a Liverpool fan too. But Andrew, he did the hard way, he came in. Chelsea, nobody knows what the hell their process is. And yeah, I mean, in terms of that, otherwise, it's just like, most people just watch what Brighton doing.
No, but right. So then the question is then, right? Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Somebody coming to Liverpool, they're taking over an overly successful club. And I'm going to Salik now, right? But then now, we're talking about Eric 10-0. why are we not looking at somebody within the league to replace him? And then, like, you know,
completely forget he exists.
You know? So, yeah. So, yes, Alec.
So, to answer your question, right, I feel like there's a very easy way to answer this. And I feel like this is, like, how to describe this? In the Prem is the largest gap of a style of football.
Mm.
So, for example, in Spain, I firmly believe that the majority of teams play extremely similar types of football. In Italy, I also feel that is the case. In the Dutch league, I think that is the same. In the French league, I believe that is the case as well. Mm. In the Prem, however, there's a huge gap of how teams play. And I think that is the reason why you don't usually see teams making a jump. And like, a good example of this is managers. So like a good example of this is, right, the top six teams in the league right now. Well, let's say, just say the big six, right? The big six teams in the league right now, mm-hmm. they don't have an English manager.
Yeah.
Right? Correct. I don't think that's by any coincidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at, I trying to think about, like, so for example, look at Eddie Howe, right? Eddie Howe was given the Newcastle job, right? He wasn't asked to go to Liverpool. He wasn't asked to go to United and things like that, right? I think it's a style of football kind of thing. Like, I feel like the traditional English style of football is, I don't want to say frowned upon, but it's not as effective as other styles are.
Mm-hmm.
And like you could see that throughout the league. Like the majority of teams that do well in the league don't play traditional English style of football. I don't want to single them out, but like if you look at a team like Palace, for example. Like, yeah. Palace play real old, like right now, I think Everton are doing the same thing, right? That's not something that people find desirable. And in contrast, like if it's somebody in Spain, for example, like I think Betis and I don't even know was that a real low ranking team right now.
Probably.
Yeah, somebody like that, right? I feel like in general, they all play a similar style of football. And I think that has a lot to do with like the national teams and stuff, because you could literally take a team from the 20th place team in La Liga. If he's Spanish, I'm pretty sure he could fit well into the Spanish national team. I firmly believe that. I don't feel the same way about English players. Mm. And I feel like that has been the case for a long time. Like, I try to think about an English player. Is Alfie Doughty English? I think he is, right? Like, I think he would be. He could play for England, but I just don't think like they play like the English style currently.
I like him
is more suited to like, yeah. Like it's more made up of countries from everywhere else putting their input to make a good team,
yeah.
As opposed to like national identities of football teams. So like Italy, Italian sides play like Inter are a perfect example of this. Like Inter play a specific style of football. They play hard Italian football, and I think most managers, the most unlike manager like that in the league is Sarri.
Yeah,
and Sarri only got the Juventus job, and that didn't work out. So I feel it has a lot to do with like the style of the football that's being played. That's why you don't see managers making the jump in the Prem, but you'll see it in other places.
Would you say then that Alain, I was going to go to you next, but I just want to ask Alec this quick then. Would you say then that Graham Potter was given the chance to be the one to bring the mold, and given that that didn't work out, we wouldn't see something like that again?
I don't think so, boy, because I feel like Eddie Howe was given the opportunity.
No, but in terms of a manager to provide a different style, well, suppose a different style from the English brand.
Yeah, possibly. But I can't think of another English manager that's going to give you that.
You know the funny thing too, eh? That brand of football we had actually had associated with Eddie Howe when he was at Bournemouth there. And he changed when he went to Newcastle. You know, not that they're not attacking, but
because he had to, John. Like, yeah, it's not he like had he to. Wanted yeah. to. He had to.
Yeah.
So that just shows you there's a you know like when you're going into like a beach and there's a drop, that's literally where it is. Like there's a drop that you can't see now, and you have to know that the drop is there and how to navigate the drop, and like how to get back up rather. So I feel like that's how it seems to me. I feel like that drop isn't as apparent in every other league across the world.
Pats?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that I think that was a fantastic answer from from Brandon. Yeah, no. I couldn't.
No joke.
Answer that question any better.
I wrote down the minute he said it because that deserves to go on a
great answer. Remind me what the question was, please. Because I got so caught up in the answer was genuinely fantastic.
So then now I actually totally agree with what Salik said, right? Especially with the national, with the managers who are the same nationality then. But do we feel then that there's the obvious opportunity of Liverpool, but again, I still think Liverpool competing at a level where you want a certain level of surety, right? But then now where United and Chelsea are, there's a bit more room for experimenting in the hopes of getting up there. Do we feel like if there's a real chance for somebody like De Zerbi and Thomas Frank to get those jobs? Because I think if it was in other leagues, we would have felt like it was a real chance. You know?
Yeah. So me personally, I don't think that there's a chance with United. Simply because it looks like United are always searching for the solution immediately. You know what I mean? So it seems like they want to bring the manager who has pedigree, who has won at some other league, even though it's Ajax, you know, not even a top five league, but whatever. It seems like that is what United is searching for. Okay, so will we see the jump, for example, De Zerbi to United? No, I'll be very surprised if that happens, is what I should say. High percentage chance that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea is where these things actually could happen. I mean, they even took a chance. And I thought it was a good chance on Potter, you know. And I don't think just because it didn't work, I don't think that means that they would not try again. If you see what I'm saying,
yeah.
They just might not try with De Zerbi though, because it's the same club. That's all. But maybe they will try with. I think a Frank would be nice. I mean, in my opinion, without diverting too much, I really liked how Chelsea had looked under Tommy, you know. And I think Frank will play something similar to that. Also, I think Chelsea are a team that's built for the back three. I think they are still built for the back three. And yeah, again, I think Frank would excel in that system. But anyway, do I see it happening? I think it could happen, but I think that there's a smaller chance. Yeah,
because like the reality is, I quicker would see United go after like Amorim as an example than to sign De Zerbi or Thomas Frank. I'm gonna give you a little time to answer that. And then the last thing I want to talk about is do we want Luis Xabi Alonso wins the league with Leverkusen, right? Proven that he could do it at that level, competing against the behemoth that is Bayern, right? Do we want, like, if you was looking for Liverpool's best interest, Virgil, do we want Xabi Alonso to succeed Jurgen Klopp? Or are we afraid of what we have seen when managers who leave a legacy, the next person has not always done that well? Whether it was Pep leaving Barca or Fergie leaving United or Wenger leaving Arsenal, you know, the ones who succeeded them have not done up to expectations. So do we want the next person to be the one that they have long term, or we want like a Steve, somebody like in the interim, man?
Well, okay, so good. So touching on the first question first. Looking at the whole jumper managers, I feel like for Liverpool, I feel like what we're talking about, it is possible, because the reason you gave with you're seeing what's going on with United and Chelsea, it might give a little cushion for Liverpool if they want to appoint somebody within the league and give them that step up. But honestly, from what we mentioned earlier with Liverpool, I find the Liverpool project, where Klopp left it off, it's too good of an opportunity to do experiment like that, because you have players right now that still building, they're still able to learn, and I feel bringing in somebody that can't handle pressure too much, and they're not somebody that I feel like could take those young players, and for example, looking like a Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, and give them the and give them an opportunity. Okay, I would want Oil to run this midfield, dude. I feel like the pressure might get to them, And you know, when that happened to managers, the first solution is to go to transfer market, try to get somebody, a marquee signing, throw them in the midfield, just show them in what position, and, you know, try to salvage the season or salvage whatever going on. But, mm-hmm. So that's why I don't feel, I feel like it's the opportunity right now. I feel like Klopp is leaving it at such a good position that if they do bring Alonso, I feel like everything is just there for him. And I feel like we seeing how he is performing this season. It's not just a case of he has those marquee signings and he could just run away the league. There are a lot of players that came and many players that who other people turn away from. If you're looking at like likes of Frimpong, looking at Grimaldo, many teams they were rejected by many teams, and we've seen how well he has brought them off to be like these world class players, and everybody have their eyes on them. So I feel like if he does succeed and win the Bundesliga, and goes to Liverpool, bias aside, I feel like it would be a good thing for him to take what Klopp built and just push it even further, because I feel like he has that drive, and I feel like if you take Klopp recipe and you add that already, you're in for something scary. You could find something. This Liverpool side, and let's say this will be them finishing good position, finishing Champions League. I feel like we could see this a whole new hybrid Liverpool team being born if that does happen. And I feel, and for Xavi, I feel like he's not one of those managers I felt that try to rush it. I felt like he was taking his time, because I feel like even for this season right now for him is not something that we expected. Something that came is a left field play. We weren't expecting Leverkusen to be top of the league. We were expecting everybody thought Bayern Munich signed Harry Kane, Bayern Munich run away the league, Harry Kane winning a trophy. But we've seen all the work behind the scenes that Xavi did, the level head that he has. And I feel like if he is to come to Liverpool and you have those players, build with those players, and keep that level head and keep and focus on the project that he have there. Yeah, and I feel like even if you don't want that to happen, I feel like it's very unlikely for things not to plan out in a positive way if he's to go to Liverpool, honestly.
Salih, how do you feel about that?
I like the Alonso move. I mean, it's very straightforward. It seems seamless.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I told you this earlier, and I feel like we need to reassess that at the end of the season. Because
I gave you the caveat that he does win the league. He does win the league.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, yeah. I mean, like that, I don't think that there's any reason to not take him
mm-hmm.
after. The only thing that I'm thinking of that would probably change that is if some manager has an insane Euros and like it impressed Liverpool so much, they're like, you know what, we could probably take him, you know. But that's about it. Like I don't have anything other to say than because the Alonso move is so easy, you know. Like it he played for the club, he loves the club, he's a decent enough manager, he has a good team that's there, he has authority at the club, the fans will get behind him, the players will get behind him. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't happen, you know. I just feel like it's just too easy, you know. Like when the answer is just there and you're supposed to click it and you get some bad thing happened.
You're forgetting something too. When Rodgers was sucked, the answer, the same exact situation was there. Jürgen Klopp had just come out the job, and everybody, as soon as he left, was like, no, think back to it. It was Klopp should manage Liverpool. That was how it is. Liverpool is our club.
Yeah, but that had more intangible reasons than Xabi Alonso. Like, it really does. Like, I don't think you can't compare Bayer Leverkusen to Borussia Dortmund.
Comparing here to somebody, though, and this is what I think is the critical part of it. I've so much unspoken about Xabi Alonso. First of all, when he left the club, though, did Xabi Alonso want to leave Liverpool? No. Xabi Alonso left Liverpool because we were going into administration. And Rafael Benitez needed to raise funds for Gareth Barry, who he, for some reason, he decided Xabi Alonso was great, had to leave for that. I remember I was probably like 10 years old at the time, and Twitter wasn't around back then. I opened up the Liverpool website and I see breaking Xabi Alonso agrees to deal with Real Madrid, and I just like, we're gonna score from half field now. But when since Xabi Alonso has been managing Sociedad, yeah, the team, he has been asked about Liverpool. When Klopp in his first season took Liverpool to the semi-finals of the Europa League and they beat Dortmund, Xabi Alonso was on that. Xabi Alonso post picture him touching the Anfield stand because Xabi Alonso has unfinished business at Liverpool. I think he knows that. Everybody knows that. And as somebody who grew up in the early 2000s and, well, I would say just before the 2010s, really, and you know that too. When we look at Liverpool, and as I said, Liverpool is a team where culture, the city, the culture, everything is important. Jurgen Klopp came in and people compared him to Shankly because of the person he was off the field. Shankly has a statue in front. The only manager who, any, like Dalglish did a wonderful job. He won more than Klopp in terms of league titles as a manager. Nobody talks about a Dalglish statue to the same extent as you talk. Like, as soon as Klopp busts out, it's just like, hey, get Klopp the statue. Dog, when Bill Shankly was manager of Liverpool, yeah, watch our history, just repeat itself. Bill Shankly was manager of Liverpool. Who succeeded him? Does anybody know? Mm-hmm. Bob Paisley. You know who Bob Paisley is?
Mm-hmm. I don't, yeah.
Liverpool's most successful manager of all time. And you know what Bob Paisley did, dog? Bob Paisley played for Liverpool before. Under Bill Shankly. It's just a cycle. And I think, in terms of intangibles, dog, Xabi Alonso is actually, I don't know if y'all follow him off the field and stuff too, but when Rubiales did that whole nonsense in that disgusting, when Spain won the Women's World Cup, right? Mm-hmm. When Rubiales was being disgusting, Xabi Alonso was one of the first managers to say, hey, I am inspired by the Spain women's team and what Rubiales is disgusting. And his views, the way he speaks, his connection to the city, and I think all that, because the thing is, the obvious choice would have been, for people would have been like, Steven Gerrard. Don't be talking about Steven Gerrard. Talk about Xabi Alonso, because Xabi Alonso, as much as we say the sample size is small, he's proven to be tactically adept. We've seen him work with what he has at Leverkusen. Mm-hmm. People who have been watching him since Sociedad, and that's something as well I managed to follow back when he was there. He has been implementing different tactics in different play styles. People say Bakshu had a run. Dog, Bakshu do have to run. I think is As soon as it was announced, Xabi Alonso had a press conference and everybody was like, well, we know what's going to happen. I think, honestly, that's something that already works, boy. I think Liverpool prioritizing somebody who knows the club, but also Xabi Alonso's managerial age is an important thing. Liverpool ain't going to go for anybody, a big hitter, because they want somebody to manage a project. Liverpool don't like to patch over this new Liverpool, not going to try and patch over things. If you watch how they, since Klopp has been in, what the signing profile has been, you can name like about like two players over the age of 30 we signed. One was like Ragnar Klavan, and the other one was Wataru Endo. So I just think it makes too much sense for Xabi Alonso to come in way. And as soon as I'm a big Xabi Alonso fan, Jerusha, the first thing Jerusha told me was like, hey, don't worry, at least I'll get Xabi Alonso. Because it's as you say, Brandon, it's the easy solution now, way. But sometimes you don't have to think too hard. It makes sense.
Especially now that Carlo extend his deal too. So it seemed like Real Madrid definitely off the table. So with that though, we're going to actually close the pod. Because it's our 137 minutes. But thank you guys so much for your contribution. We talked nothing football-wise this weekend. Like nothing at all.
But we talk about the biggest stories, though.
We didn't talk about the biggest stories.
Nobody want to hear about how Man U beat Newport 4-2.
Anthony scored his first goal.
I know. Anthony apparently backed his best. That's what they're saying.
Did y'all hear that Anthony celebrated for Pele?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you how long that man has scored.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Let me give a gift there. What's it?
All right.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. I appreciate each and every one of you. Guys, well, this will all be out at the same time. I did consider if we should do our pod Thursday night, but I don't know. We'll see how we go. Because we actually have maybe Tuesday, Premier League football. Well, you would know. And that being said, we will leave it there for tonight, guys. Thank you guys always for joining us. We'll catch you guys next time. See you soon. Everybody. Take it easy. Later.